Julius, you're a tea grower from Kenya, visiting the UK actually in Fair Trade Fortnight. I'd like to know just whereabouts you are in Kenya. Is it somewhere around the Rift Valley?
I come from the eastern side of the Rift Valley. This is the eastern side of Mount Kenya. I live in Nairobi, but I'm also a farmer in Kenya. We say you have a house in the city and a home where you were born.
We drink quite a lot of tea in the UK. I think it's probably about 70% of us drinking tea here. Over 160 million cups per day are consumed. That's an enormous amount. But tell us what's involved with tea farming. Do you handpick the tea?
Yeah, tea takes about 3 years to come to maturity. So a tea farmer is a very patient person. After 3 years, you start plucking the very fine two leaves and a bud, and that is what you take to the factory. That is what is processed to be the tea that you normally take.
And just talk us through the process. What happens after you've picked it?
After picking, tea is taken to the factory. It is processed, and then after processing, most of the tea is taken to Mombasa. This is where we have the auction taking place. So it's taken to warehouses in Mombasa. It is auctioned from there. However, we also have a direct system where you make tea for a particular customer. Cafe Direct, for example, is a direct customer, and tea is made for Cafe Direct directly in the factory.
Because there is a tea growers association, but often that's what larger plantations that are involved with that association. Then you've got the smaller cooperatives like yourselves, haven't you?
Yeah, tea growing in Kenya is can be grouped in two styles. We have the estate subsector, and we also have the small-scale tea subsector. The small-scale tea subsector is where all the small-scale tea farmers in Kenya grow tea under the management or the auspices of Kenya Tea Development Agency Limited. And at the moment, they command a 62% production of the total tea that comes out of Kenya.
In tea production over the years, what have been the main problems that you've encountered?
Oh, we face all the problems of underdevelopment. We are part of the total Kenyan community. You can imagine very poor roads, impassable roads during the wet weather, inadequate medical facilities. People have to put up their own schools, so if they have no money, then they will have squalid premises. It's not easy living out there, but it's their home.
How have fair trade arrangements helped with some of that?
Kenya is what you would call a Harambe country. This is where people pool resources to do their own things, to build their own dispensaries, to build schools and other things. And the fair trade has come in handy. In this particular community, people can associate with a buyer on the other side, and they can't believe it. They think it is just a God-sent thing that somebody out there remembers that he is part of a chain that starts with planting of that tea and then ends up with a consumer on the other side. That consumer has accepted to plow some money back so that he has better schools, he can prioritize on certain projects. This has come up as a real welcome move for the community. So the fair trade has plowed in, has plowed back some money, and people are having to prioritize on their own projects, and they have put up schools, they have put up dispensaries. The factory community particularly has a daycare center for the children or for the workers. One of my best example is a school that was registered about 20 years ago, and because of local wrangles, it has never taken off. But when the fair trade came in, some money was allocated to this school, and I'm happy to say that about 3 weeks ago, last month, it opened its doors to students for the first time, and you can imagine how elated the community is.
What about the costs of production in general in Kenya for tea? I've heard that they've risen quite a bit in the last few years.
The future with the Cafe Direct is more guaranteed, particularly given that the cost of production is almost equal to what the farmers are getting. It happened in coffee, and what happened, coffee was the number one foreign exchange earner for Kenya. It collapsed. The new regime in the government is trying hard to see that coffee is revived. And the same thing might happen to tea. This is what happens with auction systems all over the world, because it is a question of supply and demand. So even if the product is of very high quality, as long as you have too much of it in the auction, the prices will automatically be down, and this is what pushes the prices down. The worry is that if the trend continues, tea may become a thing of the past. But with the Cafe Direct, what is likely to happen is that that guarantee of a minimum price will ensure that at no time will the farmer fail to get a return for his product. And he has another system also of ensuring that the production cost at least does not go below the price that he is getting.
What about the human costs? The hidden human costs for Kenyans of consumer bargains, like, you know, faraway countries like the UK?
When you look at the whole chain, how does an ordinary farmer live? What does he get at the end of the day? Is tea really a commercial crop or not? Does he get a benefit out of it, or what really happens? And if you do your arithmetic well, you'll find that the producer on the other side really gets a raw deal in the whole chain. You know, nobody cares. Nobody cares that about his cost of living. Most of the farmers at the moment may be living below $1 a day. And this is why we are saying we are grateful to anybody who looks back and asks, where does this commodity come from? And then identifies with the plight of this person. And if everybody could look back the way Cafe Direct is looking back, it may not be the total solution, but at least it's most welcome as far as that farmer is concerned, because then it alleviates the burden of having to contribute from that $1 or $1.50 to build schools, to build dispensaries and all that.
What about the difference between fair trade and free trade? We hear a lot about the global economy these days, don't we?
If the world would care to look at the chain and have a fair distribution of that final price, it would be a better world. Let me put it this way. For a long time, Kenya has been selling tea here in the UK, for example, and the majority of the consumers are not aware that Kenya produces tea. They still think that tea that was produced in India 300 years ago has been coming here for all these years. India is the only country, or Sri Lanka, India and Sri Lanka are the only countries that produce tea. Kenya has more tea being drunk here in the UK than any of those two countries. Now, that bit is not known because the middleman does not want you to know, or the consumer to know. What fair trade are doing is that they want to identify with that person. So of necessity, the consumer is being told that tea that you're buying was produced by that person you are seeing there. It's helping him to have a better living. I think that is a better world. That is a world that I would want to belong to. As a farmer, I don't want anything for free. I want to belong to a world where I can do my bit, and that is assurance that I'll produce the best quality, the highest quality, the product that is required. And then, please, look at me. Look at me as part of the chain and pay me what should be due to me. That is what I stand for.
And the Kenyan tea itself, it's quite a strong tea, really, isn't it? Full of flavour. It's often a blend as well.
Fortunately, we are on the equator, and the tea growing conditions in Kenya are the best in the world. We produce tea the whole year round, from day one to the end of the year. The equator passes through Mount Kenya. You have snow on the equator. You have all types of climates in Kenya. We have what we call high-grown teas. Kenya does not have low-grown teas, so the higher you go up the mountains, the better the quality of tea, and that is why all blenders in the world look for Kenyan tea to blend with it, because without it, then you have a lower quality of what you are giving your consumers.
And Julius, you personally, how do you take your tea?
Mine is quite a ratio. I take black tea with when I'm at home. I take hot black tea with honey, lemon, and ginger. If you take that prescription, you can say goodbye to colds. You won't have any colds at all.
Because there are antioxidant healing properties in tea, aren't there?
Tea has antioxidants. Tea has also been proven to give a longer life. This is through practice. Scientific experiments have shown that tea is good for health.
And would you be happy to see your family that follow you continue to be tea growers?
I don't know whether you have ever been to a tea estate, but in Kenya, one of the areas where you have miles and miles of tea estates, this is the Kericho area. If you see the flowing or the undulating hills around Mount Kenya, it's one of the beautiful sceneries anywhere in the world. I still consider Kericho in Kenya to be one of the most beautiful places on earth. Yes, I would want them to continue growing tea throughout.
Julius, thanks very much for sparing the time on your trip to talk to us.
Thank you very much. We say in Kenya, Asante Sana. That means thank you very much.